If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the show, we have an interview with the one and only Heather Dubrow from The Real Housewives of Orange County. Heather's been on what I think has been a fantastic three-season run since her big return to OC. And she's right in the thick of it this season in a variety of the storyline. So it was great to get some time with her around this mid-season mark to pick her brain about everything that's been going on the show. Because she is directly involved in some of the drama with Gina, with Katie, now with Emily. But she's also involved in a way that she's like very much like kind of right at the center of being friends with Tamra, being friends with Alexis, being friends with Shannon. And as a de facto OG in my mind, her perspective on it is really apt. And so after talking briefly about highlighting some of her advocacy work with the LGBTQ community, we jumped into the drama of this season, how she's feeling right now with the show airing and watching some of it back. And because of that, why she's unsure about how to approach the upcoming reunion, her response to Katie's latest claim that she has more receipts about the whole paparazzi gate thing that she won't be releasing, her new drama with Emily over the fashion show, which is playing out right now, and also which scene involving Emily this season made Heather cry after seeing it. We also talked about, again, how she navigates that sort of spot that she's in, being friends with Alexis, Shannon, and Tamra amid their ongoing drama and much more. As always, Heather was in great form, so keep listening for my interview with her. Tune in to The Real Housewives of Orange County on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Bravo. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. I want to gab. Okay, today we're gabbing with Heather Dubrow, star of The Real Housewives of Orange County. Heather has been having a fantastic season, so I'm thrilled to get some time to chat with her about it. Heather, how are you? It's been a while.
I'm good. I like your whole, what's behind you?
I'm at home in DC for my sister's wedding this weekend, and I'm at my mom's office. So she has a bag business with my dad called Scout Bags, and so that's all the samples behind me.
Oh, cute.
Yes. good ambiance, right?
Yeah, I like
first of all, I love this season. How, I mean, speaking of my sister and my siblings, like I have queer siblings myself, and I love how much you have been spotlighting your work with Family Equality, with GLAAD this season. And I'd venture to guess that your kids feel the same way that I do about my parents, about having supportive parents who are outspokenly supportive of who they are. Talk to me about like sort of the feedback that you get from your kids about using your platform to talk about these things.
Yeah. I mean, I think I said it on the show where I said, you know, my kids don't even realize that they have it good, which is great, you know, because
right.
they didn't have to struggle in that department. But, you know, it's such a difficult dance to, you know, try to help other families and really show our family, but protect my kids and their privacy.
Absolutely.
And their stories and whatnot, especially, you know, because, you know, especially Ace is still young. He's 13. And so that's always difficult. But, you know, they're always proud of me and for what I do in the community. Yeah, they're very supportive.
That's good. That's good. And I think, Heather, they'll even be more supportive and appreciative as they get older. You know, I think that's
going to be a blessing. And you know, the truth is, and I'm sure your parents would say the same thing, I don't need them to be. It's cool.
Of course not. Like, no.
I'm your mom. And, you know, I have always been so horrified by the notion that a parent would not accept their child. Like,
right.
brought them into the world. You literally created this human, or adopted, or fostered, whatever you did, you chose
raised them. Yeah.
to do this. And so this is your child. And at the very least, you, parent, should be their safe haven.
Right. Right. And it's more about the perspective, I guess, like you said, sort of, they don't know how good they have it. So they'll get that perspective, I think, as time goes on. So, Heather, I said, you've been having a great season. I think this is a great season of the show overall. How do you feel right now? I mean, we're over halfway through it. There's a lot going on, which I think is good for the show again. But how are you feeling as somebody really in it?
I think, I agree with you. I mean, I think the show looks really good. And I think it's, you know, got all the elements of what everyone loves about reality TV. It's funny, it's dramatic, it's, you know, touching, all those things. I think, you know, on the pro side, like we were just saying, like, I'm so, so happy to be able to give Family Equality so much visibility and presenting at the GLAAD Awards.
Right, exactly.
And that's why I came back on the show, literally for these reasons. There's some other scenes too. I don't know if they'll get shown, but other work that I did. So I love that. And it makes me so, so happy. But I mean, look, also there's things that are irritating to watch. It's hard for me to see, like, for example, you know, Emily is really upset about the fashion show, wearing Susan Bender pieces.
There we go. Obvi.
Right now. She's really upset. I feel horrible that she's upset. I mean, I love Emily. I think she's a gorgeous woman. And I know how hard she works on herself. And I, you know, I thought she was like, I was saying to her, you're like the star of the show. You have 3 changes and all these things. And I had given all the girls a list of things they needed to bring. Shannon needed to bring a full dress to wear under a long coat. And there was another gal, actually James Black, who's the head of Family Equality, mm-hmm. her wife, Cherilyn, also brought jeans. Because I was trying to show, there aren't that many pieces in the collection, so I was trying to show.
It's a mix and a match, right.
Like, you can wear it with jeans, you can wear it with leather pants. So Tamara also wore that oversized moto, and it is called the oversized moto. And so I had Tamara wear leather and Emily wear denim. It very easily could have gone the other way. There really wasn't a big rhyme or reason to it. I was just like, oh, those two are both badasses. They should wear the moto. Thank you. Yeah. They should wear the moto jacket. So,
but also, Heather, like in that episode that we saw the show, you know, you were checking on Emily. You were like, are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? Because I feel like you could sense that something was a little bit off with her in terms of her, I don't know, her attitude or whatever. So you were checking on her as well. So I feel like it festered almost, you know?
Yeah, I did check on her. And I think the sentence gets cut off, but I started to say, do you like your outfits? Because if not, we can. Mm. And then she's like, no, it's fine. Because like Shannon wasn't comfortable in one thing. Susan had brought extra things because I had told all the girls beforehand, if you don't want to walk in the show, it's fine. If you're not comfortable doing this, it's fine. We don't have time for fittings. I don't know what's going to fit. Give me your measurements. We're going to do the best we can. And honestly, the whole reason to put the fashion show at the event was to bulk it up, because just having an event where everyone's standing around and, you know, drinking champagne is kind of boring, right? So I thought, okay, I'm doing this collab with Susan. We'll do a fashion show. It'll get everyone involved. And I also feel like when you're involved with something, you know, when you're a part of it, it means more.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so yeah, like I felt so bad that she felt bad. But I wish she had just told me. I'm getting really sick of the let's talk to everyone except Heather.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see some of the other girls having very nice one-on-one conversations. And this doesn't end, by the way. It keeps going on for the rest of the season.
It keeps going.
When it's a conversation about me, it seems to always happen or want to happen at a group event where there's now backup and the rest of the peanut gallery chiming in. And I just find it, I'm like, it's annoying.
And why do you think that that's sort of what happens? Is it because people are intimidated? Is it because they're scared of what, like, what do you think is behind that? Them not wanting to confront you one-on-one or face-to-face?
I think it's a variety of things depending on the situation, but I think sometimes there's just safety in numbers.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's when the opportunity arises,
mm-hmm.
or it's just germane to the conversation, just comes up. I just don't like when it's like plucked from the air. Like, oh, and while we're talking about grass, you pissed me off. What, you know, it's like, huh?
Right.
Where'd that come from?
Well, I feel like with Emily, with you in particular, this isn't the first time that she's brought things up with you. And I feel like even when you throw an event and you threw the first event of the season, there's still like these comments that are made about like your hosting style. And I always sort of interpret that as your love language being gift giving, and you just love to entertain and make people happy in that way. And it's not about any sort of other thing. But I feel like with Emily, they keep coming up like that. What do you think is behind your and Emily's inability to really move forward without some of those comments being made?
I mean, you'd probably have to ask her. I would tell you that Emily and I are like, I love Emily. We have a lot of fun together. I value her opinion. I think she's a great mom and she's really smart. And I enjoy being with her. It's hard to hear the comments that she makes. And she and I have talked about it. She doesn't watch the show.
Okay.
No,
so she probably forgets about some of it. Yeah,
maybe. But she also, you know, she's being funny sometimes, or it's just the way she feels. I am overly sensitive. So I do try to go, wait a minute, am I being overly sensitive, or was that a shitty thing to say?
Right.
You know, yeah, it's hard to watch. I think the hardest thing for me to watch this season was when Katie told all the girls about the paparazzi thing. Like, they were all at the bar and whatever, and yeah, was the reaction annoying? Yes, but I understood it. You're at a bar, you're all drinking, someone's giving you salacious information.
Right. You get carried away.
It's fine. I mean, it's not fine, but it's fine. But then you saw Emily and Tamara hanging out, and the conversation they had, I shed tears that night. I really did. I did, because I watched it. And then I heard from Tamara pretty immediately. Like a very long, that was shitty. I didn't even realize how shitty I was being. Like, just a really...
Owned it.
Yeah. And then I did end up hearing from Emily like a couple of days later. It wasn't the same text, but...
What was her text?
It was more like, well, we all do shitty things to each other.
Got it. Like tit for tat. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, you've upset me. Okay. And if I have, you know, certainly not intentional. But watching the two of them...
Yeah.
Talk about me was so hurtful. And that night I was just like, I don't know. I had like a little mini breakdown. I went into my bathroom and I just cried. And I thought, God, why is it that these people that I think are my friends take such joy in seeing my demise, that they love this? You know, I think Emily said something like seeing fancy pants with her fancy pants caught around her ankles. It's like, clever line, but first of all, it's not true. And second of all, why does it make you so happy?
Right. Right.
That's a
great question.
Is this the weirdest Diet Coke you've ever seen? Look how tall it is.
I love
it. Tall boy Diet Coke.
I feel like the other thing, I don't really, to me, like this is, it's, I'm sure it's just as an, it's more annoying to you, but I think as a viewer, the whole paparazzi thing has been so, just like we're dragging it out so much. And the latest is that Katie told Page Six that she has more evidence, but she's never going to show it. Did you see that? And what was your reaction to that?
Show it. Show it all.
Right.
She also said it's semantics, which I already said in the press when I was here a few weeks ago in New York. But I just want to say it again for you and your listeners. there's no semantics. It's not, I didn't call the paparazzi. It's, I didn't call. I didn't wink at anyone. I didn't intimate to someone. I didn't push a piece of paper across the table. I didn't write a note to someone, nor did anyone from my team or my family. I don't have any knowledge of anyone knowing anyone from the paparazzi. I don't not know of anyone not knowing. I mean, how much clearer could I be?
You were not involved. Yes.
In and last year, when this got brought up, they showed a flashback of it. And I'm like, very nonplussed. Like, yeah, I don't care. Think whatever you want. But that day at the golf event, what they didn't show was there was sort of a laundry list of things she had.
Got it.
It was like, oh, you called the paparazzi and you snubbed me at this party and you're jealous of my friendships with the Beverly Hills girls and you're think you're a big timer. It was like anything anyone's ever accused me of on this show.
It was there. Got it.
It was like, here's your super fan list of, you know, what you want to come at me with. And it was literally right after what you did see. She goes, oh, wait. So it started with the nail salon with the tagging thing. Is that a social media person?
Which was it was an honest mistake.
She was typing in Givenchy. Yeah. And I had looked at her because I knew she might be coming on the show. And so her name popped up, but she just did it by accident. And what was funny was a few days later, Katie had sent out a group text to everyone about the golf event and tagged the wrong Heather.
So there we go. It happens.
Yeah. And she was like, sorry, I was doing too many things at the same time. I'm like, it's okay. I get it. But she didn't see how those things were comparable.
Right.
So anyway, there was this laundry list of things. I can't remember where I was going with that, but
it was
like gaslighting. And so when someone, I know what I was going to say. So she had done that weird tagging thing and I was already going, where are we going with this? And then we're at her golf event and she says to me, Heather, I know you like hot dogs. So I did a hot dog bar for you.
Right.
And I go, okay. And I walked away because I was like, that's weird. And so I went over to Tamara and Emily and that's when they told me about the whole paparazzi thing.
Yeah.
So she stood there. She called me a liar. She, you know, and had this laundry list of things. And I'm thinking, okay, so you did a hot dog bar for me, but you don't like me and you think I'm a liar. It just, none of it made sense to me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
And then the other semantics thing, which I was kind of confused about and how it played out was like, this has sort of evolved into like, you know, Gina being accused of setting her up in this whole thing.
Right.
And then there was the whole real estate connection comment made, but I feel like in the show, at least it just seemed like it kind of was just like different wording used in different moments, kind of depending on who the audience was. You know what I mean?
Well, that happened a lot with Katie. She would say something to someone and it would get repeated.
Right.
And then when someone would question her about it, it wasn't the same story. It was a softer thing. And so it's like, you know, you just couldn't. She's not credible.
Well, Heather, I wanted to switch gears a little bit because you are in a really interesting spot on this show in terms of your friends with Tamara this season. You guys have buried the hatchet from last season. You're really supportive of Shannon, but you're also good friends with Alexis. And so just inherently, I'm guessing that that's a really tough situation to navigate for most people. And I'm curious how you approach navigating that, because I think you've been doing it well, but there have to be moments where it's like, well, I don't agree with what this person is doing because it's hurting this person, but I'm friends with both of them. How do you deal with that?
It's really hard. I've tried to be as honest as I can with both of them.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, the audience is just seeing this one perspective of Alexis. And I know she's getting a lot of grief online and I get it.
Yeah.
I don't agree with some of the ways she's handled things. But I also know the flip side of her personal story, which I'm not going to tell for her. But when you know certain things about her and what's been going on with her for the last couple of years, you may feel differently. I still don't think she's handling everything correctly. I've told her this on and off camera, but she's a grown woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you can only as a friend do what you can. Right. But it is hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
I love Shannon. And, you know, she had a terrible year last year. Alexis had a terrible year last year.
We just didn't hear about
it. In different circumstances.
Yeah.
I think they would have been friends.
So like some of the moments with Alexis that I feel like are like maybe harder to like support, I guess, or like the thing with the Ring camera footage that's kind of coming from John. But and the hard part for her is that also everything gets filtered through Alexis onto the show, like John via Alexis. That's how it gets to the show.
Right.
But so it's hard to tell exactly how much she's involved in some of these things because she's the person on the show. She gets a lot of that with the footage and the suing and all the stuff. What's something that Alexis has done this season that you did disagree with, that you did kind of talk to her about at some point?
I mean, it might have been shown, but it was the way she was posting. So she was posting a lot with John.
Yeah.
A lot of lovey-dovey kind of soulmate kind of things. And I said, you know, maybe you want to tone that down. Like, we're all in a friend group together and we're all together a lot. And you know, and her stance was, look, if you don't like what I'm posting, don't follow me. And that is her prerogative. Mm-hmm. And I said to Shannon, don't look at it. And she said, people send it to me. And also, I mean, I probably look too. I mean, how do you not look? Everyone trolls their ex.
Yeah.
It's a bummer when you break up with someone.
It gets posted on the fan pages. Yes.
Yeah. You want them to fall off the face of the earth. You don't want them to be around anymore. But I have to say, like, the one thing I could say in Alexis's defense is that she had a very difficult year. Her beloved mother passed away and, you know, she ended a long-term engagement. She had stuff going on with her children. And I think she found love in an unlikely place and she wanted to shout it from the rooftops and defend also her man. And I understand where all of that comes from. But again, form and content, you know, the form, I don't agree with.
I know.
They understand it. And you know, again, she's a grown woman, but then I feel terrible for Shannon. And I've said to her multiple times, you know, I don't know how you were able to come back and do this. I don't think I could have. When I invited her to the first party and I told her Alexis was coming, she goes, you would never, they didn't show this, but she said, you would never do this. You would never put up with this. And I go, you're probably right.
Right. Right. But she, and I think that it's courageous that she decided to still go forward with this. And I think that the scene that you two had in your hotel room in Napa, I think, and I said this online, I think it's one of the most raw moments that you can ever hope to get from a housewives show. That is as real as it got. That scene was so emotional and affecting. What was it like filming that and knowing that you were filming it and that people were going to see this really vulnerable moment for Shannon?
You know, I've been on this show on and off and on and off, but involved for, you know, almost 14 years.
Yeah.
And 13 and a half years, whatever it is. And the cameras don't even exist anymore. I think when Shannon, this whole season has just shown so much vulnerability and so many real moments. And, you know, if you were watching last year, you saw a lot of her going to Video Village and talking to producers and, you know, and all of that. And so, you know, I think there was a notion that she tends to control the narrative.
Sure.
And so I think for her to be that raw, you know, was amazing. But also it was like almost like she didn't have a choice, you know, mm-hmm. It's just where she was in her life. And like, I can't remember if I already said this, but I had heard the story from Tamara already.
Got it.
That Shannon thought John
heard and ignored it. Yeah.
And so that wasn't new information to me, but she was so fragile when she came into my room, and she had been so fragile on the trip, that which is why I made sure she sat next to us, and you know, like, I separated her, and
right,
you know, I wanted to make sure that she was taken care of. But yeah, it was just seeing the picture.
Yeah, that was tough. And Heather, I feel like the way that you've navigated this, again, it's tough, but you've done a pretty great job at it.
Oh.
But it's evidence that like there is a way to do this in a way that's a little soft and hearing both sides of things. And I think that Tamara is somebody else who's getting a lot of heat online for how she has navigated the Shannon situation with Alexis. Is there anything that you've seen of Tamara this season that kind of has given you pause or been like, oh, she really did not go about this in the right way?
Well, I mean, same with her. Sometimes, you know, with Tamara, sometimes the form isn't always what I would do.
Totally. We're all different. Yep.
Yes. But here's the thing. And also, because some people online will say to me, how could you be friends with her and whatnot?
Yeah.
Tamara and I have been friends for a very long time. I don't like teams and I don't like gang ups. And it's the same thing like Katie. Like, I don't care for her, but like Jen's great friends with her. Great. Be friends with her. I have no problems at all. And I would never tell her not to be. And
right.
Ben and I are really good friends. Like, no problem at all. If I don't agree with the way someone's handling something, I will tell them. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to be friends with them.
Totally.
Let me just say that. As far as Tamara is concerned, I would also say form and content. I understand why she feels the way she feels. I'm not sure the audience really understands it. And I think if Alexis had come onto the show a little bit later.
Yes.
I think if she had just come on a little bit later, you would have seen the intricacies of what happened with the Tres Amigas and what really happened between Tamara and Shannon. And I think that would have been helpful for the audience and given it context. Again, do I agree with the way Tamara deals with Shannon? No. But I understand why she feels the way she feels.
Yeah. Yeah. It was basically like a 1-2 punch that happened. And it's
hard. You know what? It's hard to be cool, calm, and collective when you're emotional, when you're pissed, when you're whatever. It was like Gina at the wine lunch the day after my event, when Katie was talking to her and she was like, you're lying. And Tamara said, you're heated. That means you're lying. And she's like, no, I'm just passionate. And it's true, because when someone is doing something that's either a lie or it's just infuriating or it goes against what you believe, it's frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine, especially when it's on a show like this. When you think about their upcoming reunion, Heather, how do you prepare for something like that? You're obviously watching the show. Are there things that you're like, okay, I want an answer on that. I need that explained to me in terms of what you've seen from other people in confessionals. What's top of mind for you?
It's interesting. Usually I sort of have a clear path. I'm not really sure what my clear path is this year. I feel like I wonder if mostly I'm going to be answering to other people.
As in they ask you questions.
Yeah. Clearly Gina and I have some stuff to get through. And also Emily. I don't know what to do with Katie, to be honest with you. I really don't. I'm not really sure what the path is there.
Well, maybe it's sometimes, I mean, and I'm thinking about this in terms of like, you know, a potential Tamara and Shannon resolve at some point. It's like, I think it depends on how the person comes into the reunion. I think the energy and the, are we going to apologize or own up for things? Like that has to affect sort of your willingness to move forward with somebody too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's certainly true. I don't know. I think it's going to be I think it's going to be an interesting reunion.
Yeah, I think so too. And last question for you, Heather. Obviously, we know that the trip's coming up and we saw in the mid-season trailer that Alexis is actively not invited to this trip by Shannon. How does her not being on that trip affect the group dynamic? Does it leave open any sort of opportunity for Tamara and Shannon, or does it, I don't know, like how does her not being there affect things?
You would have thought
that
it would have.
Mm-hmm.
But it really does not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's quite a trip.
Yeah.
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 And I'll tell you, when we were talking about navigating all of this, I am curious to see how it all looks when it plays back, because it was very difficult to navigate. There were so many problems between people and the way the problems were started and the way things get twisted and whatnot, not just with me, I'm saying everyone. So I'm curious to watch it.
Well, listen, that's what makes this such a great season. I think, as you said, it's not good when it's one side, this side, everyone versus one person. This is a web of friendships And it feels really real and authentic. So I think you guys are doing a great job. I know it's hard, but it's a good season. It really is.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, Heather, thank you so much for being so generous with your time today. And it was great to chat with you. Good luck at the reunion.
Thank you.
And we'll hopefully chat again soon.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.